You're listening to the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. I'm your federal director here in Mordor, a.k.a. the Swamp of the North, a.k.a. Ottawa. My name is Franco Terrazano, the CTF's federal director. And I'm joined by my colleague and friend, our Alberta director, Chris Sims. Chris is in Lethbridge right now, Lethbridge, Alberta, but she was just in Ottawa in the belly of the beast at a parliamentary committee to defund the CBC. That's right. Chris walked into this committee on Parliament Hill calling on the government to defund the CBC. And boy, oh boy, did the fireworks fly during committee. Now, folks, we're going to play for you the entire committee appearance from Chris calling on the government to defund the CBC. But I want to give you a little taste of what that committee appearance was like and some of the back and forth that happened. So just check out this little teaser.
I can repeat my question. I was asking for your opinion on media outlets with which you work regularly. It's online. It's for everyone to see, True North and Rebel News and others. So my question is, do you consider these outlets as reliable in terms of independent information and quality information compared to what's being put out by traditional outlets such as CBC, Global News, and CTV, for instance?
A short answer, please.
Sorry, ma'am, through the chair. I think that is a personal opinion. I have worked with outstanding journalists from all outlets, actually. So it doesn't matter if it's True North or Rebel or Western Standard or, in fact, the CBC or CTV or Global. So it's been both independent and alternative media, which is largely personally or directly funded, self-funded, or in some cases also speaking with the CBC in earnest about a lot of issues and outlets like CTV and Global. So there's good journalists in all of those newsrooms, but they shouldn't be paid by the government.
Well, Chris, what did you think about that?
Yeah, that was a tough room. So we were anticipating that one. So as everybody knows, Ryan Thorpe, our investigative journalist, he's done a ton of work digging up FOIs and information and data about the CBC, namely their disgusting bonuses that they continuously hand out to themselves, even though their ratings are microscopic. And so they're like, hey, CTF, you should all come testify. We're summoning you to this committee on Parliament Hill. And I was just bracing for it, right? Because you're in there, you're with a bunch of members of Parliament who really don't like you. And they've got this ancient attitude towards what I would call alternative media or independent media. So things like Rebel, True North, Western Standard, like our podcast that we often go on with folks. And so what that clip was a clip from a Bloc Québécois member of Parliament trying to kind of mean girl cancel me for daring to go on and talk about True North. And I just got to say, having come up through the ranks through Sun News Network and, you know, we're on Rebel all the time in True North, that's done. Like that whole cancel culture thing, like that was so a few years ago. They need to drop that. And so I really wanted to make that clear to them that no matter which organization you're speaking to, if it's a news organization, there are legit good reporters in each of those organizations, even in some mainstream media organizations, I will concede. And so that is why we gave that answer, to really kind of set them back on their heel and say, especially as government, you should not be telling Canadians which news they should be turning into. And we certainly don't need government-funded media.
Yeah, no, good point, Chris. But like, you know, let's just take a step back too, right? Chris, I think this is your first committee appearance in the House of Commons, right?
Yes.
And you were thrown into a bit of a hostile one, right? So folks, like when you go to committee, most times, most groups, not the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, of course, but most groups, when they go to committee, they're like, oh, we need more government funding. We need the government to do more, more tax dollars, more tax dollars, more tax dollars. But you, on the other hand, went to committee saying, hey, folks, you're wasting money like crazy. Cut it out. Defund the state broadcaster and the media subsidies. We don't need it. So, Chris, like, take us behind the scenes. Like, how were you feeling going into committee? How were you prepping? You know, pull the curtain back for us.
So can I tell the little story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So folks who are regular listeners to the podcast probably already understand that Franco works a lot, okay? I'm going to tell two funny little stories, actually.
Oh, no.
There was this one time, it was like Saturday. I think it was like six in the morning. And he phones me. I'm in a dead sleep. And usually you're trained to do that in media that you got to go on talk radio. So I'm like, carbon taxes are bad, right? When I answer the phone. And yeah, Franco's just at work in Ottawa. It's 9 o'clock for him because this was in BC. It was so funny. And so I'm telling that little story to set up this one. It was the one day Franco had taken off. It was vacation. He had this out of office responder set up. He was going. I won't reveal where you went because
Yeah, hey, go Bills.
okay, so he headed over to Buffalo to go to this massive blizzard snowball thing that they have there. Apparently, it went great and the Bills won. So that was great. So it's the one day, folks, that he's not going to be there Monday. Sure enough, committee phones. They're like, hey, environment committee calling. Can you come to say why the carbon tax is terrible? So that was one thing. And so Franco couldn't come do that. So we had to get somebody to do it. And then, like, an hour later, they're like, hey, Heritage Committee calling. Can you come to explain why we need to defund the CBC? So I swear, Franco, there is somebody, either an MP's office or the clerk's office, that is punking you. So this is how this all wound up with myself and our friend and colleague, Ryan Thorpe, doing the tag team thing at the Heritage Committee, and our brand new Atlantic director and our general counsel, which is a smart way of saying in-house lawyer, because we sure need them, and Jeff Bowes, our research director, they had to tag team over at Environment. This is how this all happened in a very short period of time. And so a lot goes into this because you got to keep your opening statement to under 5 minutes because they will definitely cut your mic off. Because, like Franco just said, they are not happy to see you there. There's very few people that want to watch the Taxpayers Federation walk in and start blasting at that committee room.
Yeah, no kidding. So take us kind of though behind the scenes. Like, I appreciate that story. I wasn't actually sure which one you're going to bring up, but that's not a bad one. But like, take us behind your prep, right? Like, what are you looking for? First of all, what message are you trying to get across for supporters at committee? And then how are you preparing for like the back and forth, like the knives or the mud that they're going to sling at you?
Big time. So we went in there with three key points that we wanted to make sure we got across. One, the CBC is a huge waste of money. Two, nearly nobody is watching it. And three, journalists should not be paid by the government. Period. It's an ethical and moral issue. It is a direct conflict of interest, in fact, for journalists to be paid by the government because journalism is supposed to speak truth to power. And if you're counting on the powerful government for your paycheck, pretty hard to do your job. So we wanted to go in with those three key points. And then from there, you got to flesh those out into around 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And then the fun thing starts. And that's when we start our mock rounds of prep. And that is where people jump on your Zoom call and they pretend that they're members of parliament and they start trying to hit you with tough questions. The one thing that I'm really glad they kind of sort of brought up, which is really important, is that they mentioned Indigenous programming. And I can't stress this enough. The CBC spends more money on its bonuses than it does on Indigenous programming. Do not let those elitist government-funded media employees in Toronto tell you that we need to keep the $1.4 billion state broadcaster because of Indigenous programming. There are other stations that do a much better job, and they largely stand on their own 2 feet. So that was definitely something I wanted to get across. That would have been one of the more tough questions that we would have anticipated at that committee. So a lot goes into it. Same thing happened with Ryan Thorpe. He was coming up with all sorts of stuff. So I had my statement in front of me, and Ryan had a binder like this with like tabs in it and like FOIs and stuff that he had ready to go. And the news we broke there, to both yours and Ryan's credit, you guys did this at the Ottawa office. We did an FOI and the Freedom of Information Request, the 6 o'clock news audience for the CBC. So the supper hour news is so small, it's really hard to measure. In Toronto, it is 0.7% of that city's population is watching that thing. So that was news that we broke. So much, to answer your question, so much prep goes into this. And then there's also like the awkward questions, like from your friends at work. It's like, so what are you going to wear? It's like, no, I think I'll leave my leopard print dress at home. I won't wear my trucker hat with like the Viking horns coming off of it. So a lot of prep goes into that because in all seriousness, if there's something distracting, like your hair is over like this or something, nobody's paying attention to what you're saying. See, look how distracted you are right now. You can't even focus. So if your hair looks goofy, nobody's listening to you. Lots goes into these.
And I'm sure it took every ounce of restraint on your end to not wear your defund the CBC shirt in committee.
Yeah, I packed it.
You know, Chris, I just want to say you and Ryan both did such a good job at committee. And, you know, I just want our audience to just watch the full effect. So, folks, we're going to play now the entire committee appearance between Chris and those members of parliament trying to waste your money. You're going to hear her formal opening speech, and then you're going to see the fireworks go off. Chris going back and forth with the members of parliament from all parties. And Chris just does such an amazing job advocating on behalf of taxpayers. So, without further ado, drum roll, please. Everyone, enjoy Chris's committee appearance to defund the CBC.
My name is Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I'm here with my colleague, Ryan Thorpe, the investigative journalist for the CTF. We are here to speak for thousands of hardworking taxpayers who want to defund the CBC. This needs to happen for three important reasons. The cost of the CBC. Nearly nobody is watching the CBC. And journalists should not be paid by the government. First, the cost. The CBC is getting $1.4 billion from taxpayers this year. That money could instead pay the salaries of around 7,000 paramedics and 7,000 police officers. That money could instead pay for groceries for about 85,000 Canadian families for a year. Instead, taxpayers are paying $1.4 billion so the CBC can hand out huge bonuses, get microscopic ratings, and overpay its out-of-touch executives. CBC CEO Catherine Tate refused to tell this committee if she will take a severance when she leaves the state broadcaster. Tate considers that to be a personal matter, end quote. It's not personal if it's taxpayers' money. Documents obtained by the Canadian Taxpayers Federation show Tate is paid between $460,000 and $551,000 this year, with a bonus of up to 28%. That is a bonus of $154,000. That bonus is more than the average Canadian family earns in a year. Around this time last year, the CBC asked for more money. After that, just before Christmas, the CBC announced layoffs in its newsrooms. I've worked in many newsrooms, and getting let go is not a bowl of cherries. But what about the bonuses at that same time? Documents obtained by the CTF show the CBC did hand out bonuses costing $18 million. As the CBC fan group Friends of Canadian Media put it, quote, this decision is deeply out of touch and unbefitting of our national public broadcaster, end quote. Thank you to the members from the Conservatives, the Bloc, and the NDP who voted to hold the CBC to account for these bonuses. Let's take a look at viewership. According to its own latest quarterly report, CBC News Network's audience share is 1.7%. Meaning more than 98% of Canadians are choosing to not watch CBC's news channel. We have some breaking news here in committee. Documents obtained by the CTF show the CBC's supper hour news audience is so small, it's difficult to measure. In Toronto, the CBC's 6 o'clock news has an audience of 0.7% of that city's population. CBC's entertainment barely rates better than its news. The Murdoch Mysteries, which is not produced by the CBC, pulls in its biggest audience, with about 1.9% of the population. Lastly, journalists should not be paid by the government. A free press means journalists free from government. A journalist who is paid by the government is in a direct conflict of interest. You cannot hold the powerful government to account when you're counting on the powerful government for your paycheck. The CBC is government-funded media. This government funding has warped the media landscape for decades, putting private media companies at a disadvantage. And so that affliction is catching. Other media companies are also on government payroll now. At the same time, trust in journalism has plummeted. About 61% of Canadians now think journalists are, quote, purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. Canadians need a press that is free from government so the people can hold their government to account. The CBC is a huge waste of money. Nearly nobody is watching it, and journalists should not be paid by the government. It is time to defund the CBC.
Ms. Sims and Mr. Thorpe, we heard from the incoming CEO of CBC this past Wednesday that she had not heard any conversations from Canadians about defunding the CBC. I'm wondering if that resonates or lines up with what you and your organization has heard about this subject over the last number of years.
No, through the chair, with respect, that doesn't line up with what we're seeing with our organization. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation has been pushing for the CBC to be defunded. We hear from our supporters every single day, and there are thousands of them that want the CBC to be defunded. So no, that does not line up with what our supporters want.
I found it interesting when I heard that response on Wednesday, and we had Ms. Catherine Tait, who's the current CEO, her term coming to an end in the next month or so, who had, through an access to information request, had it was revealed that she noted that there was momentum that was growing in the defund the CBC movement across Canada. So I'm wondering if you have seen over the last number of years, and you'd mentioned you hear often from folks involved with your organization, has there been momentum growing in the defund the CBC
movement? Yeah, for sure. So I've been a journalist for most of my adult life. Largely in mainstream media, in and out of newsrooms, largely here in Ottawa. And I can tell you that there wasn't really a serious movement to defund the CBC 15 years ago, and maybe not even 10 years ago. Now, you literally see it on T-shirts, on bumper stickers. People are pushing for the state broadcaster to be defunded for two reasons. Again, it's a huge waste of money. Just period. $1.4 billion is an astonishing amount of money. And two, journalists shouldn't be paid by the government. It doesn't matter if the journalist is right-wing or left-wing or a space alien. They shouldn't be paid by the government because it's a direct conflict of interest. So there is definitely a movement that's growing.
So it sounds like something else that Justin Trudeau has broken. But I am curious when it comes to the quite often, we hear from folks that would support the CBC, and in fact, even those who would acknowledge some of the challenges that exist, whether it be the bonuses that were paid out, or the expense, or not liking the programming, or acknowledging the bias that exists. But they say, well, we need it because that's how Canadians get their news. I'm wondering if you could comment on that feedback that quite often gets parroted, especially here in the nation's capital.
That's a great question, and it reminds me of the statement that we really appreciated coming from the Friends of Canadian Media when they said that those bonuses, $18 million worth of bonuses, were unbecoming of a public broadcaster. We agree. We agree. That is unbecoming. And so I think it's the bonuses that are really attracting a lot of the attention here. However, if so many people are watching the CBC and getting all their news from the CBC, why is 1.7% of the population of Toronto watching it? It's even lower in Calgary and Edmonton out west. So if the CBC costs us $1.4 billion per year and nobody is watching, is it still a waste of money? Yes, it is.
So for those that would say, well, it's required for Canadian culture, for the preservation of Canadian culture, how would you respond to that?
I find that odd because there's a lot of private media companies and there is a lot of other forms of entertainment and news that Canadians are choosing to watch and to listen to and to share. And the idea that a government-funded broadcaster is going to be the keeper of Canadian culture, is kind of insulting to people's intelligence and their own choice. If I don't watch the CBC, does that mean that I'm not Canadian? That's absurd. So no, Canadians are choosing to not watch the CBC. So ergo, we don't need it, and
seconds.
We should defund it.
Thank you very much. I think I still had a bit over a minute.
1 minute, 30 yeah. seconds. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. It was recently revealed that the government spent over $970,000 to produce a podcast that ended up only having 229 subscribers. That's a lot of dollars per subscriber. I'm wondering if, and this was specifically Stats Canada that had paid this close to $1 million. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or feedback about, you know, nearly $1 million spent to produce a podcast that many people do from their phones, walking down the street, whatever the case is, for virtually no cost. Yet the government spent $1 million, yet only garnered a subscriber base of 229. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or feelings about that.
So off the top, quickly. I actually thought I misheard that when I first heard about it. I thought it was government funding other people's podcasts, whatever it was. But no, this was a government department's podcast. It is astonishing that they're spending a nickel on that. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleague. He's the investigative journalist for the CTF, Ryan Thorpe. Ryan, you were doing some digging on that. It was astonishing to see.
Yeah, so...
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Oh. And you only have 15 seconds. Thanks.
I'll just add quickly that we dug up these records. The costs are ridiculous. They're producing podcasts that no Canadian would ask or be willing to pay for. It's reflected in that subscriber count, and it is clearly a massive waste of our money.
I'll start off with Ms. Sims and Mr. Thorpe. Thank you for being here. I guess the first question... I would ask, and I just wanted to acknowledge that I think many Canadians do agree with you that the bonuses were unacceptable, so I acknowledge that. We had a conversation in this room, and it was very clear that, especially considering the economic situation our country is, the challenges that Canadians are facing, it's something that, and I said, did not sit well with Canadians, so I agree with that. I want to talk about the CBC as a concept, though. You know, back in 1936, when the Conservatives established the CBC, it was there to bring the country together, to connect the country. If you removed the dollar amount and you removed the bonuses, do you agree with the concept of CBC?
It's still a conflict of interest. And I say this more not from a taxpayer's perspective, even though we wouldn't want to spend money on a media company. We don't want to spend money on companies anyway. No corporate welfare. We don't care what they're producing. But as a journalist, a longtime journalist, it is just a fundamental conflict of interest for a journalist to be paid by the government. It doesn't matter if it's a Conservative government or an NDP government or a left-leaning or right-leaning journalist, it is just fundamentally a conflict of interest for the media to be funded by the government.
I'll take that point. Now, CBC is more than just a television broadcaster. It, you know, it's more than just a deliverer of news. It does a lot more than that. You know, for example, children's programming, election coverage in our country, the Olympics, radio. This morning I woke up and I always open up my app, the CBC Listen app, and I listen to the morning news, but I also listen to the world news. That's how I, receive my news. I don't think I've turned on CBC, the channel, for a long time. It's usually direct through YouTube or directly through the website, through the GEM app. The statistics you gave, and I think Ms. Tate actually acknowledged this, that the viewership on television was dropping. But when you start to look at the actual online presence, like, for example, on election night, there were 9 million impression rates on the website. So we're seeing a huge jump in online listening through radio, through YouTube, through the GEM app. So... I think it would be fair to say that there may not be growth on television, which is across all broadcasters. We've seen a decline. But would you acknowledge that when it comes to its online presence, the numbers are actually increasing drastically?
So There's a few things there. Mm-hmm. One, again, we're opposed to government-funded media, period. Two, when it comes to ratings, I found it really interesting that Ms. Tate and others at the CBC don't want to give us their subscriber numbers, not names or anything like that, that would be crazy, but their subscriber numbers to GEM. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, nearly nobody's watching you on TV. Oh, trust us, we're picking it up with GEM. Okay, how many people have got on GEM? Sorry, I can't tell you that.
Right.
It's really odd. And so that's the main element, is that we don't want government funding media, and that the ratings, right, we don't actually have them for GEM or online.
But the other ratings are out there. Like, it's very clear. Like, if I just went into ChatGPT and put in what are the ratings for listenership, also for online viewing, the numbers come up very, they're very new. Like, the fact that I said 9 million people tuned in online during election day says a lot. There's a lot of information there. Do you agree with, for example, the wage subsidy and also just the media support for example, Post Media has got tens of millions of dollars. So you disagree with any media? It doesn't matter if it's community-based, a small community newspaper.
Journalists shouldn't be paid by the government.
So
period.
You would even disagree that a small community broadcaster that is not-for-profit, that's servicing a community by maybe providing information into a remote community on an emergency, things like that, local news, you wouldn't support government supporting any of that at all?
The government should not pay media companies, period. And then if you start getting into things like, oh, well, what about Indigenous programming? The CBC spends a fraction of a percentage point on their Indigenous programming.
Right.
So they pay their executive bonuses more.
So how do we deliver media, or I would say news, because, you know, there's a difference sometimes between, you know, what a journalist may put on, just general broadcasting for information, the weather, for example. How would you propose getting that? Canada's such a large country. How would you propose getting that information out there to all Canadians that maybe don't have access to the internet because of where they are, and they would have access to radio? How would you propose that people get that information?
Like an emergency basis?
On a regular basis, community information.
So,
do you think government should be supporting getting information out to little, rural, small communities that normally wouldn't have enough capacity through a business approach to support a local media agency?
So again, we're talking about the behemoth that is the CBC, $1.4 billion. And just to be clear, you're whittling it down to this tiny little keyhole
order,
of getting
please,
emergency information to people in the
order,
north.
Please.
You said you just disagree with all
order,
support
please.
To media.
Sorry, Chair.
The time is up, Mr. Couteau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My questions will be for Ms. Sim. In your experience, what has been the triggering point, or rather, when did the viewership at CBC start to go down? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? When does it date back to? And was there a particular set of circumstances that led to the majority of Anglophone viewership in Canada to give up and decide not to tune into CBC? And is it maybe the impact of the American outlets? I don't know why, because I do not know much about the Anglophone market. That's why I'm asking the question to you.
Sorry that I don't speak French well enough to answer you in French. That's a very good question. Generally speaking, in my experience as a journalist, it's been declining steadily and then rapidly. But I do not have the hard data going back, say, 20 years of the CBC's viewership. I would have to go back and get that for you. We only have current data on the viewership.
Mais la programmation...
If you are to talk about CBC programming, I mean, viewership is a disaster. There's no other way of putting it. Compared to Francophone Canada, they are the leaders in the Francophone market, but CBC is not the leader in the Anglophone market. They could be the reference for promoting culture, for Canadian experience. With all the money that's been invested, they get some shows from the U.S., but Canadian shows or programs are not being exported. They're not used elsewhere, and CBC is producing some content, and unfortunately, no one is tuning in. Why?
Why are people not watching the CBC?
Yeah.
That's a great question. We do know, again, hard data. We do know that, generally speaking, trust in journalism is at a really all-time low. I think it's 61 or 62% of Canadians now believe that journalists are saying things that they know to be false or are gross exaggerations. As a journalist, that was shocking to me because as a journalist, you try to make sure that you don't even get somebody's name wrong, that you don't accidentally get a date wrong. But now we have the majority of Canadians distrusting journalists to the extent that they feel they're being deliberately misled. So I'm not sure why people are tuning out. I will also point out to you, I think you made a reference to them importing programming from other countries and airing it on the CBC. Very interestingly, again, Murdoch Mysteries is their top-rated fiction show for entertainment that we can tell. That's not produced by the CBC. And then I tried to find the top 15 shows. Not news, just shows. And they ranked 16th, and it was The Great British Bake Off, which is obviously produced by the UK. It wasn't even produced by CBC. So that was another import.
You were saying, Ms. Sims, that you were against funding the corporation. But when I go on the website of the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, I don't see any outcries coming from you about the subsidies given to oil and gas companies in Alberta because you're against corporate welfare. You must be scandalized by the billions provided at the federal level to oil and gas companies who make billions of dollars. I'd like to hear you on that.
Welfare, period. It doesn't matter what company it is, we're opposed to it. And in fact, if you do go to our website, taxpayer.com, you will see several articles where we are taking that to task, no matter what company it is.
I see a lot of references to the carbon tax, but I don't see a lot of remarks against the subsidies provided by the government to pipelines and oil and gas. But because that's not the subject of study of today, you said, well, you referred to journalists misleading Canadians. So you work with media outlets such as True North, Rebel News, and the like. So would you say that these outlets are independent? Are they rigorous media companies? Would their quality of journalism, does it compare to mainstream media such as CBC and others? What's your opinion on this type of outlets and journalism?
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but I'll try my best to answer. So once again, we're here to point out the cost of the CBC, that nearly nobody is watching it, and that journalists shouldn't be paid by the media.
I can repeat my question. I was asking for your opinion on media outlets with which you work regularly. It's online. It's for everyone to see, True North and Rebel News and others. So my question is, do you consider these outlets as reliable in terms of independent information and quality information compared to what's being put out by traditional outlets such as CBC, Global News, and CTV, for instance?
Short answer, please.
Sorry, ma'am, through the chair. I think that is a personal opinion. I have worked with outstanding journalists from all outlets, actually. So it doesn't matter if it's True North or Rebel or Western Standard or, in fact, the CBC or CTV or Global. So it's been both independent and alternative media, which is largely personally or directly funded, self-funded, or in some cases also speaking with the CBC in earnest about a lot of issues and outlets like CTV and Global. So there's good journalists in all of those newsrooms, but they shouldn't be paid by the government.
Do you think the CBC respects the Canadian taxpayer?
Well, with respect to the chair, I think that's a matter of opinion. A lot of people say they may not like the programming on the CBC, and perhaps that is why they're choosing to no longer watch it. But from the Canadian taxpayers' perspective, it's, again, those three main points. This cost of the CBC, the fact that nearly nobody is watching it anymore, and that journalists should not be paid by the government is what is really important here. As far as their opinions on their programming, whether news or fiction or entertainment, we would leave that up to Canadians.
If I could add to that quick, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation has an ongoing legal challenge against the CBC. So I filed an access to information request trying to seek how much of that bonus, the $18 million in bonuses that they hand out, went to their senior executives, the senior executive team. They're stonewalling the release of that information, claiming that it's personal information. Well, when it's taxpayers' money, taxpayers have every right to know how much the CBC is allocating to its senior executive bonuses. So we did launch that legal challenge, but I certainly don't think that shows much respect for Canadian taxpayers. The fact that we pay the bills, but they say we don't get to know how much they're spending on senior executive bonuses.
Yeah, so what I hear from Canadians in reaction to the current CEO, Ms. Catherine Tate, appearing before this committee, and also last week's appearance by the incoming CEO, Madame Bouchard, is a concern of that there's no real answers given in terms of any sort of accountability. Like, at this committee, we can point to ad revenue dropping, viewership dropping, trust in the CBC dropping, and no sense of, okay, we've got to do something differently. Instead, what we get is them lining up and saying, we just need hundreds of millions of more dollars. And I do think that has created an impression, in my view, accurately, among a lot of Canadians, that there's just not a lot of respect for the taxpayer and the fact that there needs to be some value delivered in exchange for all of that money being given to the organization. What's your view on that?
I find it comes down to accountability, which is something that the Taxpayers Federation is always pushing for. And the fact that we saw the CEO, who, again, I will point out, makes about $500,000 a year. The bonus she's entitled to is up to more than what the average Canadian family earns in an entire year, in all of their paychecks. So the idea that they were not being accountable is deeply concerning to taxpayers. But we don't believe that this is fixable. We don't think that they should throw more money at the CBC. The very idea is astonishing, because right now they're getting $1.4 billion. And again, to put that into perspective, that's the grocery bills of 85,000 families for an entire year. It is an outrageous amount of money. So the idea of throwing more money at them while they're being less and less accountable, we just don't think that's acceptable.
One quick point to add. So the CBC doesn't publish a sunshine list, mm-hmm. but at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we file access to information requests, and we do that homework for them. Since 2015, the amount of CBC employees that are earning six figures and up has increased by 231%. So we're looking at the bonuses, which is $132 million in bonuses at the CBC since 2015. The six-figure salaries at the CBC have increased by 231%. And then we hear them come back time and time again, crying poor and asking for even more money. And I think from the perspective of a lot of Canadian taxpayers, it's enough is enough.
I think it's about 1,000 people they've added to the Sunshine List.
An extra 1,000 people on their Sunshine List.
Yes.
Well, we've heard today also from this organization, Friends of Canadian Media, another ask for more money, and that more money is going to solve all of the problems. They've also said, though, that they're unhappy with pretty much every prime minister in my lifetime has not given them enough money. It sounds to me like this is a hustle. It's an insatiable appetite. There's always going to be an ask for more. There's never going to be enough money. The more they fail, the more they need money. It's a circle that never stops. Do you think that's a fair interpretation?
So, to be nice off the top, we do really appreciate what the Friends of the Public Broadcaster or Canadian Media said when they said this decision for bonuses is deeply out of touch and unbefitting of our national public broadcaster.
30 seconds.
We agree with that. But again, the idea of just putting more money into government-funded media is just the opposite of what taxpayers want. We want media to be privately funded through willing donations or subscriptions or a give, send, go. However you give money to the media of your choice is how this should play out. The notion of just giving more taxpayers money into government-funded media, that is just not going to work.
For journalism to work, it must stand on its own two feet. It's the only way it works.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Sims, if I could start with you. I share your concern about the state of news and broadcast media in this country. And I'm wondering if you might share with me your views on foreign interference or foreign ownership of Canadian media. Do you think that's a reasonable way out of this, to let foreign buyers buy Canadian news outlets and media outlets?
That's kind of getting a little bit away from what we're here to point out about the funding of the CBC.
No, but I'm just asking
the chair.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I think I consider that question to be in order. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm concerned that I'm giving my opinion about who should fund government outside of who should fund media outside of government. We believe that Canadians should pay for the media that they want to watch,
okay,
by and large, and that private companies should raise money through ads, through subscriptions, through donations. Like, for example, here we have Blacklock's Reporter, which has a subscription by year, and they do outstanding journalism, and it's two hardworking Canadian journalists. And so whether or not you get, you know, money from outside, I don't know. I guess it would be up to the private company.
Yeah, I think there's a conversation to be had about this. You have said, and I hear you loud and clear, that there should be no government subsidies, period, and there should certainly be no funding of subsidies to the media in Canada. Are you concerned about the level of subsidy that Post Media gets from the federal government that they have now built into their business plan, and the fact that they are taking Canadian taxpayer dollars and also paying their bonuses to executives that are probably 100, in some cases, 10 or 15 or 20 times larger than what CBC pays its executives?
So to be clear, there's two separate streams here that we're talking about. There's the CBC, which is $1.4 billion. Yeah. And then I think what you're talking about there is often referred to as the media bailout, if you can call it that. Roughly $500 million. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's a series of different... If you read Post Media's annual report, they disclose that government subsidy, a variety of different kinds, is actually part of their now business plan.
Yes.
Does that concern you?
Yes, very much so. It concerns us. To be clear, it works out sometimes, depending on the media outlet, roughly $30,000 per employee of media company outside of the CBC. That is highly alarming. One, taxpayers shouldn't be paying for that. And two, journalists should not be paid by the government.
Did you, you mentioned that you've done some work with True North, right?
I've been a journalist for most of my adult life. I do hits and media interviews with all outlets.
Are you concerned that True North took government subsidy? Have you expressed that same concern about True North?
No media company should take government
including
subsidy.
Including True North.
Period. Okay. Any of them.
Do you believe, so you've said you need to defund the CBC, and I want to be very clear. When you talk about the CBC, you're talking about CBC, Radio Canada, the entire thing, correct?
Yes. $1.4 billion.
The entire thing.
Should not be going to that company.
So every French language broadcast, everything in Quebec, every dollar, I just want to be absolutely clear, every dollar of federal money that goes to the CBC and Radio-Canada should be taken away.
I will point out that the CBC, to its credit, does raise some of its own money.
Right.
So I think it's around, I'd have to go back and check, it's around $400 million around there, maybe even $500 million. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's an awful lot of money that they're generating on their own.
Right. But you would say all federal money, all federal subsidy for CBC and Radio Canada should disappear.
No taxpayers' money should go to that company.
Okay. So taxpayer money would be government subsidy, correct?
Sure. Whatever you want to call it. It comes from the taxpayer. It doesn't come from the government, but it's issued by the government.
So if we dig into this a little bit more deeply, where there are markets which are called news deserts, and there is no ability for news to get to those places, and we have coverage concerns in this country, how do you respond to the fact that there are populations in this country, if the CBC were to disappear or to be defunded to the point where they focused entirely on those things that were entirely profitable, which is largely going to be urban and those types of things, what would you do for those communities? How would you ensure that the communities in rural Canada, Indigenous communities, Francophone communities in places like Vancouver got access to news coverage and to media coverage that would inform them?
Okay. With respect to the chair, you mentioned Indigenous programming, and I wanted to share this with you. So according to the CBC's 2022-2023 annual report, it spent $6.4 million on its Indigenous services.
Mm-hmm.
That is about 0.5% of its budget.
How would you get coverage to those communities? My question isn't just about whether or not the CBC did this. My question is, if the CBC money were all to disappear, where would you go and how would you get news into these communities, particularly Francophone communities in language minority places like British Columbia, Indigenous communities that are doing this programming? It's not a question of the dollars for me. The dollars are important, but my question to you is, how would you actually deliver that programming? That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, that's perhaps something that Canadian Heritage could figure out, maybe even around this council table, this committee
you.
Table.
Thank you. I think we have ended your five-minute round, Mr. Nur-Mohamed. Thank you very much. Very, very, finish your sentence and let's...
Madam Chair, appreciate that. I just did want to point out that the spending with Indigenous programming, the CBC spent more than double on its bonuses alone than it did on its indigenous programming. So it has a lot of work to do there